ID the Future.
This is Sarah Chaffee. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Brian Miller, who holds a degree in physics with a minor in engineering from MIT and a PhD in physics from Duke University. He is a technical consultant for IdeaShares, a virtual incubator dedicated to bringing innovation to the marketplace, and serves as research coordinator for the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute. Thanks for coming on the show today, Dr. Miller.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
A hot topic which has recently emerged in the field of cosmology is the existence of a period of cosmic inflation near the beginning of the universe. Would you please describe what this theory is and why it is important?
Well, certainly. What happens is Big Bang cosmology actually was very shocking to many people because what it said is that there is a period where everything began, time, space, matter and energy all began in this explosion of energy. It kind of sounds like a creation event by a creator. And what happened is the universe expanded into what it is today. In fact, that's how you get things like the cosmic background radiation, which is basically the radiation produced in the early part of our universe. That's why we have the redshift from the galaxies moving away from us. Now, in many ways, this theory has been highly successful. It predicts things like ratios of elements. It can predict the actual temperature of the cosmic background radiation. But there are several problems. One of the problems is that the universe is very, very flat. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what happens is when you solve the equations for the expansion of our universe according to standard theories of the Big Bang, what you find is our universe can have three different states. One, it's called a closed universe. And what that means is when you shine light in two parallel lines, the light actually converges over a period of time. Space is kind of bending in on itself. Another situation is it could be an open universe. That's if you shine two parallel lines, the lines eventually will diverge. And space is kind of expanding away from itself in a sense. And the last idea is that the universe is flat. It's just like what you'd expect from Euclidean geometry. If you shine two parallel lines, they go in a straight line and they're equal distance apart forever. And if it's a closed universe, that means it'll eventually collapse. If it's an open universe, it'll expand forever. Now, the problem is that our universe is very, very, very close to flat, right between open and closed. And the problem is, if the universe started initially a little bit away from flat, it would go further and further away from flat over time. So the fact that our universe is so flat now means that it had to be fine-tuned to one part in 10 to the 60th at the beginning, which is a pretty incredible amount of fine-tuning. Now, another problem is that if you look at the cosmic background radiation, it looks very, very uniform. In fact, our entire universe is fairly uniform. You see roughly the same energy and mass density wherever you look. And that is very peculiar because what you'd expect is that in the early part of our universe, different patches of the universe should have expanded away from each other so quickly that light from one patch couldn't reach another patch, which means they should not be in equilibrium. They should evolve very differently. So you'd expect if you looked at the night sky to see very different densities in different parts of the universe. But the fact that it's so uniform is also very strange. And a final problem is the idea that we don't see magnetic monopoles, but I won't get into that because it's a bit esoteric. So to solve these problems, what you have is some theorists like Guth, Steinhardt, and Lind that proposed the idea of what's called cosmic inflation. And the idea of cosmic inflation is that very, very early in our universe, the universe expanded incredibly fast, exponentially, for like a fraction of a second, and then it stopped. And what happened is after expanded, all this energy that was in the expansion turned into matter and energy that we have today. And this theory explains these problems very elegantly. For instance, because of the expansion, the universe is flattened out. So it kind of deals with the flatness problem. Also, what happened in the early universe, you have a very small patch, which was very close to each other. So it had enough time to become thermally equalized, that it had a chance to communicate with each other, every atom did, so that it was very uniform. And that patch expanded very quickly, which is why the universe today is very, very uniform. So again, another issue of inflation is that it helps to solve what's called the fine-tuning problem. And fine-tuning, as you've heard about before, is the idea that the laws of physics seem to be very carefully designed for life. But the idea of cosmic inflation is that you have all these little bubble universes pop out during this inflation period, and every little universe may have had a different set of laws. So that justifies fine-tuning, because if there's like an infinite number of universes with different laws, we simply got lucky to be in one with the laws that supported life. So that's essentially how inflation works.
I understand that a certain controversy has arisen. Could you please describe?
Well, certainly, because what happens is the question becomes, what justifies this inflation? So a lot of people like inflation because it solves the problems I mentioned. But the problem is, how do you explain it? And there is one of the physicists named Lind who came up with a very simple model of inflation. And the idea is that you have what's called an inflaton field, and then this energy permeates space. And because of a perturbation, this inflaton field went to a higher energy. And that energy is what drove the inflation very early on. And then that field dropped down to a lower energy, and that drop is what caused that energy to then turn into matter and energy. Now, it was a very nice model, but the problem is the physicist named Steinhardt, who wrote in a Scientific American article that the expectations of that model have failed, because that model expected to see a different pattern of homogeneities in the universe. In other words, the pattern of the consistency of the background radiation is not what you'd expect based on that model. Also, that model predicted something called gravitational waves, which I won't go into. But the point is, because those simple versions of the model didn't match with experiment, people have to use much more complex and convoluted models. And what Steinhardt argued is that you can justify anything with these models. So essentially, it's hard to even call it a typical science because it can predict anything. And if it can predict anything, then it's questionable how useful it is as a model. Now, a second problem is that all of these inflation models have to be still very carefully fine-tuned. So people like Robin Collins have argued that the energy level of this inflaton field had to be fine-tuned to one part in 10 to the power of 53, which again, simply replaces one fine-tuning with another. Another problem is that if you look at the entropy of our universe now, it's much, much lower than it should be. And to get an entropy as low as it is now, the entropy of the early universe had to be fine-tuned to one part in 10 to the power of 10 to the power of 130, which is a fantastically small number, incredibly fine-tuned. And the problem is inflation makes the problem even worse because the inflation actually should drive increased entropy. So it has to be fine-tuned even more. So the problem is, although the fine-tuning or the inflation model tried to solve certain problems, it created so many problems that it seems very unviable.
Have there been other attempts to solve the problems that you mentioned?
Yeah. So for instance, again, to try to explain how you justify the fine-tuning of the flatness of the universe, to justify the low inflation, to justify these other issues, people try to come up with other models to deal with this. And a good example is what's called a cyclic model by Steinhardt. And his idea is that you have what are called these brains in multidimensional space. And what happens, these brains will bounce into each other. And that's what's going to create little big bangs, little driving of new universes. And his argument is that this is something that can deal with certain fine-tuning problems. But the problem with his model is it also has to be fine-tuned. So these brains have to be at the right position next to each other in a way that's fine-tuned to one part in 10 to the power of 60. So again, you still can't escape fine-tuning. You also have what are called quantum cosmological models, which justify the creation of different universes. But again, these models also require fine-tuning of the initial conditions to work. So the challenge is you see fine-tuning in the universe and people try to justify it with these different models, but they simply replace one set of fine-tuning parameters with another. An analogy would be, imagine that you have a carpet and you're trying to put a carpet into your room, but the carpet's too big. So if you put the carpet in it, it creates this bulge in the middle. And that's kind of like the carpet is this naturalistic view of the world, and the room is like physical reality. And whenever they try to fit a naturalistic theory into reality, you have fine-tuning, which is sort of an embarrassing bulge. So what do you want to do? You want to take a mallet and smash that bulge to remove it. But as soon as you do, another bulge appears someplace else. So every attempt to remove fine-tuning actually creates new problems of fine-tuning. And again, the only way to explain the fine-tuning is with the idea of an intelligent designer that fine-tuned it for a purpose to support life. Another problem is that a lot of these theories were devised to eliminate the idea that the universe had a beginning. But all these theories, if you look at them in detail, also have to have a beginning, which doesn't escape the idea that there had to be an intelligence that began it from the beginning.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dr. Miller.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.